Thank God today that He leads His dear children. And the good news is, He wants every one of us to be His dear children. And consequently, He said He would lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So thank the Lord that God is a leader and He'll lead us. We can trust that leading, and that leading will not take us in the wrong direction or cause us to go back into the mire, back into the clay. He said, out of the mire, out of the clay. I'm so glad God has led us out of sin. But even as we journey along, He causes our feet to become as hinds' feet. Gives us a lightness that comes from being endued with a spirit and power from on high. And as the miry clay or the things of life would try to attract themselves to our spiritual feet, the songwriter said, out of the mire, out of the clay. So the Lord is still leading His children today out of anything that would encumber us, anything that would hinder us, or anything that would cause you and me to be less than fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This week, I've been thinking about a subject that's not new to us. The word is mercy. I've been thinking about it, though, how much mercy that we have received from God, and how God gives you and me a new character and a new spirit and a new identity and a new heart. Not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, a heart that can be touched by the, what shall we say, the distress, the mistakes, and the situations in life that we may encounter as we journey along together with each other. So the word today, or the thought today, is on mercy. And I think each one of us have received our share of it, and I think each one of us today are grateful to God and to others who have shown us great mercy. Well, the word mercy means the benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he or she deserves. The disposition that tempers justice, and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries, and to forbear punishment. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. As you read in the Hebrew and in the Greek, and you encounter this word, mercy, the English definition pretty well matches how you would define the various words as translated mercy in the Old and New Testament. And our definition of mercy today pretty well fits the descriptions of mercy as we encounter it in the Bible. Something that was interesting as I did a little word study on mercy, there's 16 times in the Hebrew text that it takes on not only the meaning we've just read, but it adds a little emphasis to it. It means to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior. It means to favor or to bestow, which would lead you more to the word grace. It's not only those things of benevolence, but it is also a sacrifice, it is an effort, and it means in part to bend. It would mean to stoop in kindness in order to help someone less fortunate or someone who has perhaps transgressed. To show mercy takes effort. To show and bestow mercy takes love. It takes the grace of God, and it takes someone understanding the needs of someone and having empathy and sympathy towards that person. It has to also be part of mercy is for us to understand the benefit to the person extended mercy. And we'll try to touch on that later. Mercy is a very wonderful word that is not something that we are boasting in, something that we are fleshly proud of, because you and me know there is a limit to human mercy. And to encounter the pitfalls and the trials and overcome and not be inundated by offenses that come against us, we'll know and understand that human mercy will not meet the bill. But it takes the divine love, the divine nature, it takes that quality of Christ residing in us. There was a song that spoke about the love of God I heard many years ago, and it was describing some of the characters and the characteristics and the love of Christ in personal ways. And toward the end of the song, I believe it was the bass singer, would say something like this, "Lord, help me to love like that." That's our challenge, isn't it? To love like we have been loved. To extend mercy as we have had mercy extended to us. I'd like to read a scripture now. In Colossians 2 and 6. Colossians 2 and 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, that could look at it as, we could look at that in various ways when we consider receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. But I am thinking right now about when you and me accepted the gift of eternal life. When you and me repented and we accepted the forgiveness of our sins. When the hand of mercy reached down and touched us beyond anything man could ever do for us, and we were forgiven of all things and all transgressions, and we were translated out of the kingdom of the devil or darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we were made joint heirs by grace and by mercy and by the virtue of the work of Christ, and that alone, we were made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you think of a quicker and a greater promotion that ever will occur to man than that one experience? From the miry clay to the realms of glory, just like that. Through no real effort or work or righteousness on our part, He saved us, forgave us, and made us joint heirs with Christ. And today He's doing the same thing. "Whosoever will may come to this fountain of water and drink till they thirst no more. They may be washed in the blood of all unrighteousness and made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Though their sins and ours were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." That's grace. That's mercy. And God is extending that to every one of us today. Regardless of who, where, or whatever, God loves sinners and God loves you and me. And He extends to us the hand of mercy and the hand of grace. So we can't ever say that we lifted ourselves out of the miry clay, but the songwriter said, "He lifted me out." So we praise God for that this morning. "As you have therefore received Him, walk in." I want to ask you a question this morning, and think about it. What kind of shape were you in when you received Christ Jesus the Lord? What was your life like? What sins had you committed? What were you on the verge of, perhaps? What was your thinking, and how had life caught up with you? How long had it been that this hand of mercy was being extended to you? How long did Jesus Christ have to forbear with you? Now, we're talking about that wonderful gift of receiving the plan of salvation into our life and being forgiven. What kind of sins were you in unbelief. What kind of mistakes had you made or were about to make? What was your thinking and your attitude towards God and to Christ prior to that? What had you said to God that maybe was offensive? How had you lived in such a way maybe that you were telling God, leave me alone? How long did that period go on? I am glad God's rich in mercy, aren't you? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, speaking to you and speaking to me, so walk in, being rooted in Him, being grounded in Him, realizing if I am going to walk with you, Lord, it's going to take you and your word and your spirit. It's going to take me listening and following. It's going to take me applying the examples of your life to me. How long? How long did I transgress? How long did I say, Lord, leave me alone? How long did I run? How long did I dishonor Him? How long did I behave less than right? And what all had you done? Jesus said He did always those things that pleased the Father. I think if I want to please God now, it's safe to walk in Christ and pattern our lives after the example of the captain of our salvation. I think it's safe then to pattern my life, my reasoning, and yours, and keeping our eyes on Him, the author and the finisher of the faith, who has made us, God has made us accepted in the Beloved. As you have received Him now, walk in Him. To do that, we're going to have more than just, I believe. We're going to have an experience, are we not? He said to Peter, when you're converted, He said to Nicodemus, without being born from above, you cannot see this. We're going to have to allow the Lord to elevate us above the human nature into the realms and the possession of the divine nature. Lord, help me, help us all to love like you did. You know, we can't go wrong, folks. The old flesh will come up and tell us, you don't need to do that. Yes, we do. Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. And He told me to turn the other cheek, and He told you to turn the other cheek. Yes, if I'm going to please the Father, I've got to obey and follow the Son. But it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to follow the Son. We hope we get there today, because in following the Son is righteousness and the benefits and the joy and the peace that we all want so desperately in life. In order to walk in Him, for the last four Sundays, we talked about change. For you and me then to walk with Him the way we received Him, we're going to have to allow the Lord to change us. At that instance of conversion, that comes through repentance and being washed in the blood. But we also have to walk with Him in humility and obedience and hunger and thirst, so He can lead us into all truths and all righteousness. We're going to have to be willing to be changed. And I have found that the change is an ongoing event, as we've already talked in length about. God leads His people along. He leads us in paths of righteousness. And you know, you and me have not experienced let's say 25, let's say 30. We have not experienced everything we will experience. There will be, as we grow older and live and work in society, in a family, there will be new experiences. And those new experiences will present their benefits, but also their liabilities. And they will challenge us spiritually to places that perhaps heretofore we have not been challenged. So change and willing to conform more into the image of Christ becomes an ongoing thing. I thank God that He's willing and merciful. Over in Psalms 103 and the 8th verse, and this is a wonderful verse when you think about it in depth. 103 and 8 of Psalms. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I am so glad this morning. We're talking now about you and me walking in the mercy that we have been made recipients of. From a God who loves mercy, from a God who is plenteous in mercy, who gives us the wells of salvation and the bread of life, who opens to us the window of heaven and pours us out a blessing that we won't be able to contain, to a God who gives us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And one of the characteristics of our mighty God is that He is plenteous in mercy. I am so thankful. I'd like to go now to Lamentations. Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, in the 22nd verse. Lamentations 3 and 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. You know, when we were sinners, we were not without the mercy of God. Had there been no mercy, there would have been no cross. Had there been no cross, there would have been no resurrection. Had there been no resurrection, there would have been no hope for a sinner. So today, even sinners, and you and me had our conversation there, are recipients of mercy. And we thank God, because without that mercy, we would be consumed. And we would be without hope entirely, and no way to go home, and no way to go back. I want to say to us today, by extending mercy, we extend hope. By extending mercy, we extend a way for healing. We extend a path for a homecoming. And when we shut our doors and our hearts and our thinking to mercy, then we are saying, there's no hope. I don't want any hope. And healing's not possible. Healing's not necessary. And we put ourselves in a most unhappy place. And I think if you think about it, you'll find as we go along today, mercy lightens us. Mercy gives us more of the feet of the hind or the deer. Mercy allows us to conquer territories that we can't even approach. Mercy opens doors to freedoms and joys that heretofore we have excluded ourselves from. Mercy. Mercy is something that, well, we'll read on. Over in Micah, I'd like to read a scripture. Micah, the 7th chapter, and the 18th verse. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? Who is a God like you? Who is like you? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. We started off reading, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and grounded in the faith. The faith tells me that our God delights in mercy. He said in more than one place, I believe, that He would rather have mercy than sacrifice. He would much rather extend, and He does it all the time, but He had much rather extend pardon and mercy than to punish us. You read in the history of Israel, He called and He called and He called before He punished. Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham, because of the mercy of God, was able to entreat God to spare the city. The city of Nineveh, who was so wicked, but God had mercy on their ignorance. They didn't know their right from their left. And He said, shouldn't I have mercy on them? God delights in showing mercy. We're called to be His light in this world. We're called to be a city set on a hill. I have never in my life encountered more merciful people than the children of God. So this is not in all an indictment. But it is to extend to us the benefits and the joy and the freedom that's in mercy. It is also to encourage you today, if you're not saved, or if you've done something that you feel like you started on that downward path, God is rich in mercy. And He has no pleasure in the death of the unrighteous. And though your sins and your mistakes be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. God extends mercy and grace to every one of us. And He said, as you receive that, now you go forth and walk in that. Enjoy it. Participate with God. Delight in it yourself. Thought about the question, how often have you appealed to God for mercy? Since you've been saved, how long have you appealed to God? How often have you appealed to God for mercy? Now, mercy can be, asking for that, can be for different reasons, I know. It can be because we've made an error. It also because something has happened to us that is not within our power to correct. Something that has hurt us or broken us some way. How many times have you and me went to God who is rich in mercy and thank Him now for that vast storehouse of mercy? In Luke, the 6th chapter, He said, walk in Him. Now we're going to challenge us again by the words of Christ. Luke 6 and 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Aren't you glad for that little statement? And walk in this love as you have received Him. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. What a wonderful thought. What a pleasant thing for you to do to me. How wonderful it is to be the recipients of mercy. Oh, sighs of relief and tears of humility. How wonderful it is to be forgiven. How wonderful it is to be empathized with and to be understood. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. What did He say here? Be ye therefore merciful. Now the challenge comes when it is my turn, through whatever events and circumstances of life, to be merciful. I'm not Jesus, and I'm not God, and I'm not the Holy Ghost. When I realized then that the command of Christ came from the divine one who is mercy, by very nature he delights in mercy. In Isaiah, though, he told me that his ways and his thoughts are not mine. I don't see an obstacle per se, but I do see a challenge. I do see a place now that I'm going to need some help. As I said, when mercy is extended to you or to me, wow, I thank the Lord for that. But now I am, the tables are turned and things are a little different now, and I've been offended, or someone has just done me wrong. Someone is offended. Something is not right here now, and I am the recipient of some type of perceived or real injustice. And the Lord told me, I know your ways are not mine, but I want you to show mercy just like you received mercy. Now, this is where God is doing things above that we can ask or we think. Over in 2 Corinthians, because the Lord did not command us something that He was going to judge us by on the last day, He did not command us to do something that we cannot do, hence be liable at the day of judgment. What God commands us, He furnishes the power and the authority and the new spirit and the new nature that we can do that. Over in 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. In the 17th and the 18th, well, let's start at the 16th. Talking about the New Testament dispensation as opposed to the Old Testament. And remember how Moses had to have a veil over his face so the people could look upon him. And in the new dispensation, that veil is done away with in Christ. And that we can see things now and behold the glory of God. And he said in the 16th verse, nevertheless, when it, the people, Israel, you and me, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. My desire, and I know yours is today, when I understand the command to be merciful as He is merciful, I've got to look in the right direction. I've got to look unto the mountain from which cometh my help. My help is in the name of the Lord. I've got to look up and beyond my abilities. I've got to look beyond what I wish I could do but can't do. May God help us to remove the veil of the flesh, the veil of our own thinking, and look and turn to God and cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, empower me, and God, strengthen me. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want to try to express to us today the joy, the peace, the liberty, the freedom there is when we take on the character and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And in particular, when we begin to follow Him down the road of mercy, when we begin and become not only recipients but givers out of the cleanness and the purity of the heart, out of that new spirit within us. He said, now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that motivator, that power, that strength that will work within us. It creates a new heart and a new spirit. The Lord, the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, is that one who will come and make the difference in the old man and in the new man. He then will empower us and also create in us a hunger to extend mercy. Jesus was ready to extend mercy. He said, how oft would I have gathered you? He was eager, hungry, wanting to do it. The zeal of thine house hath consumed me or eaten me up. God created in me that hunger, not only to obtain mercy, but to show mercy. Because the injustice that's been done to me, they're paltry and puny and of no comparison to how I have treated Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to love like you love me. And where the Spirit of the Lord is now, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. It's one of those, to me, deep scriptures. But I want to be able to see Christ without the veil of humanity, the veil of sin, and the veil of unforgiveness. I want to see Him in the Spirit by possessing the Spirit. Lord, help us to be willing now as we desire to walk in Him, that we will indeed desire any changes that are necessary in my understanding, in my attitude, in my perception, in what I may feel. Justice would say this, but God, may Your mercy answer. May Your kindness be the outpouring of my heart. So, God wants to change the inner man into His glorious image. Christ being formed in us, and hence the character of Christ. First, in 2 Peter 1 and 4, He talks about you and me having been made partaker of the divine nature. Now the answer to the dilemma of His ways are greater than our ways begins to be answered, because now I see a power working in me, a power working in the saints, a power that transcends humanity and is of the divine nature of God. That's what we want, folks, to be able to love like that. If I am going to extend mercy as I have obtained mercy, I've got to have that divine nature. I've got to have the Spirit of Christ. I've got to have the very essence of who He is living in me, ruling me, possessing me. He's got to be my joy. He's got to be my life. He's got to be the anchor and the author. He's got to be the one that I look on. Lord, what am I to do here? He's got to be that source of living water that in the dry, thirsty land of this life, sometimes we catch ourselves in. And then, it all falls into place. And I can have mercy. I can feel mercy. I can have something in me wanting to extend mercy. I don't know that we can ever extend mercy till we experience the magnitude of the mercy that was bestowed upon us. If in any way we do not understand the magnitude of the grace of God and the mercy of Christ on us, the innocent dying for the wicked, till we've tasted it and experienced it and been humiliated by our wrong and humbled by the outpouring of mercy and blood and love of Jesus Christ on the wretched man that I am and was. Till we taste it for ourselves and realize I have no rights whatsoever. Nay, Lord, I don't want to have any rights to ever be without mercy. Because without mercy, I wouldn't be saved today. Without mercy, if you're a sinner today, there would be no hope. And without mercy, you put yourselves in a prison. So we're changed. And we're given then the divine nature. Now, we can go forth. I often think of the Lord's talking to the people when He gave them the story of the Good Samaritan. They judge themselves. You read in the Bible how many times Jesus allowed people to judge themselves. The Pharisee, the Levite on one side, the priest on another, and here came the lowly Samaritan and felt pity and mercy. And we know the story. So then after the story was complete, the Lord asked him, He said, which one did the will of the Father, the right thing? And they said, well, he that showed mercy. And what did Jesus say? Go and do likewise. My duty as a Christian is to be merciful as He is merciful. May the Lord help us today to understand offenses will come. But Lord, we can have something in us that even as they slapped you, even as they nailed you, even as they pierced you, even as they cursed you, you said something like this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you know when people offend us and say they truly do something wrong? Okay? Because a lot of times people, we think they offended us, and they didn't really. But we perceive it that way. But do you know when people truly do us wrong, we sometimes think they know what they're doing. But I wonder if most of the time it's not just like Jesus was. The flesh speaks. Selfishness calls out. I know they're responsible. I don't mean to get away from that. But sure, those people were responsible. They did what they did with forethought. And they planned it and schemed it. But the Lord said, forgive them. They don't understand the damage they're doing to themselves. They don't understand the damage they're doing to their children. Know the next time someone does you wrong, look at their children and say, God bless that family. Bless that home. Bless those little ones. And Lord, whatever it takes for you to bless them on my part, I want to do it. Something to think about, isn't it? Did you know the divine nature forgave us of all our iniquities? Did you know the divine nature told you and me to go out in a day and forgive 7 times 70? Sometimes we get stuck on one, don't we? And sometimes that one goes way more in a day. We might possess that thing for a lifetime, have to get rid of it on our deathbed if God's merciful. You ever thought about it? 7 times 70, 490 in a day. And how many times have you or me got caught up in a trespass against us and we mulled on it and mulled on it and mulled on it and mulled on it for week, month, year, whatever? He said it. You know, 490 twice is what? 980. What would a week bring if it happened that way? And he says, forgive. Now, I'm not saying that lightheartedly. It's serious, but God still said, do it. Over in 1 Corinthians, God gives us some instructions here that I think is rather interesting. Because, you know, I think there's a song I used to hear sang years ago about remind me, O Lord. Remind me. Remind me where I've been or something, and what I might have been, where you brought me from, and those type of thoughts. You know, we sometimes forget. Lord, help us to remember. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this one. But such were some of you. Whatever sin you were saved from, one or many, you could add to this list. And such were some of you. But precious, precious blood, through mercy and grace, was shed for you. You are now washed. And you're sanctified and justified in the work and the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And such were some of you. I thought of this. For me to show mercy, I must have a new outlook and a new way of looking at things. Lord, I need your divine. Remember that such was some of me. And Then I began to think about the offense or the place where I'm expected to give mercy. I think it's good for us to begin to see others through our own needs. Begin to see others through our own needs and our need of mercy and God's mercy to us. Begin now to understand others' needs through your own weaknesses. I think all of us today, if we were, obviously we won't do it right now, but we could say, I have some weaknesses. You know, this little affliction I've had, I always thought I was pretty emotionally strong. I really did. I didn't cry a lot. I feel for people, but I just didn't really feel like I was that emotional. You know, I got some weaknesses. And I found out there is an emotional man down in here. And the right thing comes along and he gets stirred up. Understand others and look at them through our own weakness and our need of mercy. See others on the street or in your family through your own personal needs. The paraphrase is, there but for the grace of God, go I. Understand people's affronts to you. Think about this one now. Through your own mistakes. Can any of us say, I'm mistake free? Can any of us say, I haven't spoken out of turn? I have not ever behaved selfish. Look at others through your own mistakes. Through your own failure. Have you never not accomplished something? Have you ever come to a place where it didn't work? You failed? Maybe the grace of God. Maybe of wisdom. Whatever. If I begin not to look at someone self-righteous and say they ought to know better, but if I begin to look at them through my own mistakes, failures, and needs, my own emotions, God will tender me. God will help me to be able then to say, I forgive. Lay it aside. It's not important. Oh, it might be important in some categories, but making heaven, it's not important to the glory of eternal life. It's not important to the joy of an abundant life here. It's not important when it comes to doing always those things that please my Father. Yes, Lord, I want to see them through my own eyes and recognize, been there, I've done that, and you were merciful. There's a lot of difference between mercy and excusing, and then we're not going there. We're talking about mercy. Mercy offered a way home. Mercy asked for forgiveness. Mercy said, Father, forgive them. Mercy made the plan by which restoration could take place. It was not an excuse to go and sin on some more. When we were without strength, weak, helpless, in due time Christ died for those wonderful saints of God who did no sin and never made a mistake. No, he died for the ungodly. Lord, help me to love like that. Help me, Lord, to have that divine nature. Help me to be changed. I'd like to end with this thought. We've talked about, earlier I said, that mercy is good for us. And it opens up some beautiful places. Over in Proverbs 21:21, because most of us relate to pleasure in a favorable way. Most of us relate to reward in a favorable way. Most of us, we can learn to do things when the rewards are great enough. Listen to what he said in Proverbs 21 and 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Following after Christ, as he walked, you and me walk. And what do we find? He promised us that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. He told me that if I love righteousness, if I love mercy, I'll find what life is really for. I'll find the giver of life because, one, I can't have it without him. I can find the joy of walking with him every day. I can find the joy of he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. That joy will be mine and yours. He that goeth after and followeth after Christ and mercy, he finds life. Another scripture is in Proverbs 11 and 17. 11 and 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. It's beneficial, folks, for our body and our spirit, our emotions and our life, to love mercy, to follow after mercy, to show mercy. In so doing, we're doing good to really the most important person in my life, me. I can understand that, can't you? Well, I understand, hey, if you do this, it's good for you. If you do this, it'll make you happy. If you do this, it brings pleasure. When you and me determine to hold something, when you and me fail to forgive or show mercy or empathize, what we're doing, we've put ourselves in a prison and we're guarding a hurt. We're nourishing a grudge. We're holding on to offense. We're waiting for somebody to grumble, grovel before us. We're waiting for someone to just humiliate themselves and tell the whole world I was wrong and I transgressed against him. And that may never happen. Probably won't. So in the meantime, we got the key and we locked the door to this stinking, cold, dark, dank prison cell. But guess what? We got to stay right there. But we got to keep them in it. We can't smile because they made me unhappy. I can't have pleasure because they treated me such and such. I want to tell you something. Learn mercy. Follow after. Obtain it. It's part of the divine nature of God. And prison doors will start opening all around you. People will look better. People will look friendlier. Because you've learned the secret of abiding in the Lord. You have found the fountain of living water, and he said it'll be in you. Not coming up here and sprinkling on you. It will be in you. Springing up forth through eternal life. Oh, will we learn the secret of the Lord? They're so beautiful, freeing. He said, if the Son will set you free, make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free to go in and out and find pasture. You know, when we get a little perturbed or hold something or not show mercy, there's places we won't go. You know, some people won't go to family reunion because they hadn't found out about mercy. Ivan Eck had to preach a funeral one time up there in his community. And literally, the congregation, them and them, and them and us and them. And their brother Ivan was trying to preach to these folks about their dear departed. Did you know there's people that won't go to funerals? I know of one. Maybe more. Because they haven't learned about mercy. Oh, may God help us today. that we learn the freedom that's in mercy. And those old prison house doors. Who enjoys speaking? I mean, who enjoys ruminating in their mind about a bad event? Sometimes I think we enjoy it. I think we need to do like Jesus told one, get thee behind me. You're an offense to me. No, I don't want to think about that. There's no joy. My feet are getting mired down, and he promised me hinds feet. What am I thinking about? Somebody did me wrong. God have mercy on them and help me to love like you love. A feet lighter. The little obstacle in life now. You ever watched a deer flat-footed standing by a barbed wire fence, just standing there? I watch them pretty often at the house. They don't have to have a running start. They're just standing there, and all of a sudden they want to go over there. They say, oing, oing. Hinds feet. Could you jump if you had to today? Could you jump over the hurdle of life today if you had to? Or is it mired down in an un-Christ-like characteristic? You know, as we divest ourselves of those, the boing comes back. Boing. If you ever watched a mule deer run, unless they're out just hard running, this is how a mule deer runs. Boing, 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 boing. Just effortlessly. They come to a log or a stump or whatever, and boing, boing, boing. Boing. Just keep going. Those deer jump over those fence. You know the Lord wants us to have feet like that spiritually. May God help us. By learning mercy, it empowers us and frees us to enjoy the gift of other people. Did you know to the offense that comes from someone, and we hold it for whatever length of time, I want to tell you that same person has some good qualities. Yes, they do. And by holding or not forgiving or being merciful or whatever, we're saying, I don't want your gifts. So being like Christ enjoys us to reap the benefits of fellowship. And then, not only will hinds feet, but then they shall mount up with wings as eagles. God wants to give us eagle wings today. Folks, there's nothing more important than soaring with Christ. But one of these days we're going to be soaring with Christ and all of a sudden we're going to get an uplift. Zing! And we're going to be in heaven, paradise. I want to be soaring when Christ comes, don't you? The day I die, if I'm conscious, I want to be soaring. I want to be just soaring with the Lord so I don't have to fall to earth and stay there. I think I'll get bound to earth, however you want to think about it. The Lord wants us to soar. But we can't do it, folks, when we're tethered to this earth. We can't do it. We've got to break the bonds of this earth to soar today with Christ. We've got to allow Him to come in that nature, in that spirit. And we've got to be changed into His glory. And we've got to learn, as I have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, Lord, I want to walk just that way. You pray for me.